Friends, as the first speaker pointed out, the subject of our lecture today is Do Dreams Have a Message? In fact, as the first speaker also pointed out, that one third of our life is spent in sleeping, and yet, as we say, we wake up none the wiser every day. So, are we missing out on something which we ought to learn, really, to take advantage of? It's a vast subject. Actually, much needs to be first said about sleep, but time will not permit. So we may just begin to understand that why do we sleep? We sleep, one simple reason being, as science also admits, that during sleep, our nervous centers and the sensory ganglia of the brain, they get rest. Because during sleep, we are on a different plane of consciousness, so that this sensory ganglia, they get strength, they get recuperated on a higher plane. Now, in fact, theosophy speaks about various states of consciousness. It's not just theosophy. We would purposely want to draw your attention to the book, The Dream of Ravana. Perhaps it is there on the book table. And in that, the mention is made from Vedanta that every person or man has duality or dual existence of two modes of existence. One is called Atma Dasha or spirit condition, and the other is called Jiva Dasha or life condition. Atma Dasha is the state of consciousness which is where we exist as our true being. We are not the personality. We are not even the individuality, but we are that, the Atman. And that Atma Dasha, or life, I mean the spirit condition, is something which is compared in that book to a state of consciousness called Turiya. Those who know Indian philosophy know that Turiya is the highest state of consciousness, which we call as highest Samadhi, in which your lower nature is completely merged in your divine nature, something which you and I can never hope to experience, but only the yogis, they experience the Turiya state. On the other hand, or quite the reverse mode of existence, is the life condition or Jiva Dasha. But these two have been divided, or rather depicted, by four states of consciousness. So, there is Jagrat, or waking state, Swapna, or dream state, Sushupti, which the psychologists and scientists talk of as dreamless sleep state, and the highest being Turiya. Now, these are also, we are told, to be seen or visualized as concentric circles. Circle, surrounded by circle, surrounded by circle. So the Turiya condition or state is the innermost circle which is closest to your Atman or divine being or divine nature. Now, from Turiya state, the ego arises and gets into the Sushupti, which is described as the transitional sphere or even the border of oblivion. And in it, we exist, not in a body like this, but in Karan Sharira or causal body. In Swapna state, you exist in astral body using astral senses, and in the physical, of course, waking state, we know we exist in a physical body using physical senses. But the interesting thing is that as you go away from Turiya to Sushupti to Swapna to Jagrat, gradually an element of illusion enters and you become more and more forgetful of your divine nature. Finally, in the Jagrat, we hardly remember that we are really the sparks of the divinity. So this is the kind of oblivion which takes place as you move from that innermost state to the outer. So it's not for nothing that in Chandogya Upanishad, in fact when the pupil asks a question of the sage, that why do we fall asleep? And the sage says that the condition of a sleeping man, it is called, he is called Swapiti. Sva is self. And Swapiti means one who reaches or one who is reached the self or the true self. So during sleep, and actually in deep sleep, we are really reaching our divine nature, something we will see much more in detail as we proceed. But in short, therefore, let's keep in mind these concentric circles, the imagery, where you go from one state to the other, and that will remind us that as you go from Jagrat to dreamless sleep, you pass through dream state. But also, as you come back from the dreamless sleep state to Jagrat, once again you pass through dream state. Something which is very important for us to note, and we will see something more about it a little later. Now, coming to Jagrat state again, we can again subdivide Jagrat into three subdivisions. There is Jagrat, complete waking state, about which the first quotation tells us, why do we require that waking state? Our waking state, in which all our physical and vital organs, senses, faculties find their necessary exercise and development, it is needed to prevent physical organization from collapsing. So, you are exercising your faculties, you are exercising your senses and the body and the organs during the waking state. But there is something also called Jagrat Swapna. Jagrat Swapna generally has got the very negative connotation. We call it daydreaming. We call it fantasy. We call it zoning out, wool gathering. These are the words psychologists use. And is it something useful? Well, there are two aspects to it. Even daydreaming, which is, if it just turns into just building castles in the air, or you just get carried away by your faculty of imagination, where you simply, one after the other, the thoughts come, and you are reliving your past or plan about the future, then that is not the daydreaming which is going to be helpful. But you know, in the world today, they are in fact doing research on this this aspect of dreaming while you are waking state, and they say that it is very closely allied to creativity. So, instance is given of Einstein. That Einstein, he used to sit down and imagine himself running along with the wave of light. And that finally led him, not only that, but that helped him to, as it were, discover or come to special theory of relativity. Now, this is just one instance. But what we call this daydreaming in its positive connotation is creative visualization, lucid dreaming. These are the words which are coined by the psychologists today, in which you are making use of dreaming. You actually are asked that if you want to achieve a goal, if you want to fulfill some desire, you can sit down and dream, visualize yourself doing this, that and the other step and reaching the goal. In fact, you can use this creative visualization or daydream in overcoming certain phobias. So if you are very afraid of swimming, then you can visualize how you will go to the swimming pool. You will then take a plunge into the water. Then you will be moving your hands and feet. And then next step, you will be onto the other shore, successfully reach the other shore. So this is daydreaming, but a positive aspect. Now, coming back then to the third part, that is waking Sushupti. That is to say that Jagrat Sushupti, or waking dreamless sleep. Often we are also in this state. We are awake, but you are so lost, maybe in painting or in writing something, solving a problem. A musician who is performing or he is reciting a raga, he is lost so much in the raga that you are not aware of your own self. You are not aware of your surroundings. It's exactly this oblivion of your own self and the surroundings is what happens in the Sushupti state when we go to sleep. But even while awake, we to a certain extent experience this dreamless sleep state experience. Now, what happens when we fall asleep? As we said, from Jagrat, we go to dream state. Now, here, these are the dreams where H.P. Blavatsky points out that your principles of lower mind and your desire nature, they are active. Those dreams, what are they? They are nothing but pictures and images and impressions of only your daily activity. What you talked about, what you thought about, what you felt, what you did, the events. We went for a dinner, we did this. All those impressions which are there in the brain, they simply are thrown out by your brain one by one. And that is what you simply, with your closed eye, you see them all over again. This is one kind of dream, and we are mostly familiar with that sort of dream only. Now, this is the kind, these are the dreams which HPB says, they are not real dreams. They are idle visions. They are not real dreams. And in fact, the real dreams is the name she gives to those which we pass through when we come back from Sushupti to the Jagrat state. Now, that's why even in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, they talk about dreams which come through gates of horn and the dreams which come through gates of ivory. So, these are the dreams which come through gates of horn, as it were. Now, here, these are the dreams which are mainly dealt with by people like Freud and other psychologists. They say that dreams, therefore, are nothing but an avenue for the unconscious. Dreams are just a mode or something which facilitates you at times to fulfill your unfulfilled desires. And we do find that sometimes a child has got a repressed anger, but he can't really beat the parents. Maybe he'll dream about beating the mother or the father. It's a repressed thing. There is could be repressed attraction for the opposite sex. And you can't do anything in the waking life, so perhaps you will live it out in the dream. So it is the unconscious which finds its expression. One incident, or rather something which comes in the writings of Mr. Judge, about a lady. She comes and tells him that I dreamt that I was trying out a new bonnet of the latest fashion which had just come in the market. And I was feeling very glad that I am the first person to try out this bonnet of the latest fashion. And just then, I saw the reflection of another lady, Lady Eleanor, in the mirror, and I saw her going green with envy. Now, Mr. Judge says that yes, what does it show? Even this dream is important. He says that this shows your love for personal decoration, and also it shows the desire in you to be ahead of others. So, the dreams can give an insight in you, into your character, if you are able to analyze them properly in a kind of impartial manner, which was done by Mr. Judge for that lady. Now, from this dream state, we come to Sushupti or dreamless sleep state. Now, in this dreamless sleep state, we are told that this is of very great importance because your lower nature gets completely paralyzed. Now, what happens during life? It's always our lower mind which is having the supremacy. You see, we are continually involved in the personal affairs. We are continually involved with our desires. So that something which is in the, which is the divine or higher nature, never gets a chance to speak to us. We never really pay heed to what it has to say. In fact, it feels like a prisoner. You have higher good aspirations, but you can't live them out because your lower nature is predominant. Now, during this Sushupti state, the lower nature is actually almost paralyzed. So, HPP says that the lower nature is like a jailer and the higher nature is like a prisoner. The prisoner becomes free during Sushupti to be on its own plane. It works on its own planes, thinks on its own plane. What it does, very difficult for us to really make out. But what it does, we come to know through our dreams. Now, this is that Sushupti state where we, therefore, do not exist as I am Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so. We exist as our true individuality. That's why in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we are told there are no relations. There the father is father no more. The mother is mother no more. The husband is husband no more. There are no relations there. We all exist as the true ego, the true individual, the true I. And not as the personality. Now also it is the state in which you are able to make contact with your divine nature. Once again, to go back to Chandogya Upanishad, the simile, the imagery given is that we are like birds, which is tied to a peg in the earth by a long rope or a long thread. It flies up and down, it goes very far away from that peg to which it is tied, but at the end of the day, in search of food and freedom and all that. But at the end of the day, it comes back to the point where it is tied. So also, we search for happiness all through the waking hours. But where do we find it? Ultimately, that peace and happiness comes when we are in this deep sleep state. We touch, as it were, the hem of the garment of our true being. There is an actual contact made with our divine nature. And that is why we are told that it is like a spiritual reservoir. If you are thirsty and there is a kind of a water fount, you can assuage your thirst. It's something like that. The person who may be very agitated, who may be anxious, who may be even contemplating to harm another, but when he falls into a deep sleep state, he makes contact with this divine nature and something happens. We are told that the momentum to evil living is actually put a check to. Otherwise, can you imagine, there would be far greater evil in the world. Even a hardened criminal passes through this dreamless deep state, touches the divine nature, and therefore to some extent he is reformed, he finds peace. In fact, experiments have been carried out where a person, he is made to go to sleep, and through the rapid eye movement, see, when you are actually dreaming, your eyelids, they are moving. So it's called a rapid eye movement or REM. And they've found, and when you are in the deep sleep, it is called non-REM state. What they know is that as soon as the person is going to get into the deep sleep state, he is woken up. It is found that if that is how the person sleeps, even for 7 to 8 hours, he gets up all tired. He feels that he is not rested at all. Because it is in this dreamless sleep state that not only is your body, your senses, your physical faculties, but also your psychic faculties and psychic nature gets rested. And if you are deprived of that kind of a rest, you feel you are not slept. You are all anxious and agitated when you get up. But if you touch this hem of the garment of the divine nature, then you feel refreshed. No wonder when we, after the sleep, we feel refreshed. Now, this is one thing about Sushupti state. But we are also told that in this Sushupti or dreamless sleep state, we are also able to make contact with other egos which are also on that same state and with whom you have spiritual attraction. Something which people do not know, but Theosophy says that during your deep sleep state, without exception, every person is able to make contact with the dear departed ones. You have lost maybe your children, your wife, your mother, your friend, and we say they go to Swarga. Theosophy calls it Devahan. You are able to communicate with them during deep sleep state. Why? You are not able to remember? Because your brain is not porous enough to really bring back the memory of this experience. Your ego is able to communicate with them. But that same experience is impressed on the brain, but the brain is not receptive. Because what is the brain engaged in all the time? Again, as we said, only in the personal worries and personal concerns. So, brain is not ready and you don't bring that experience, but we do meet our dear departed one every night during the Sushupti state. Also, we are told that at least nothing, sometimes we wake up with the feeling that wherever he is in a state of happiness or bliss. At least that feeling we get when we wake up at times. Now, we said that after Sushupti, once again, you enter dream state. Now, these are the dreams which are of great importance. These are the dreams which we have to pay attention to. And for these dreams, perhaps it is that Bulwer Lytton said that the man's first initiation comes in dreams. And Job in the Bible says that in the dreams and visions of night, man is instructed. What is meant by man being instructed in dreams? The word instructed can be seen at various levels, and actually we will see also different kinds of dreams that way. Now, instructed could be at a simple level of getting solution to your problem. You know, sometimes you are struggling to get some answer and you tell that person, sleep over it. And sure enough, when you wake up, you get an answer to the problem. And we do have examples of scientists. At least two examples are there, where through dreams, they got an answer to their problem. One is Kekulé. Kekulé was one who was trying to find out what is the structure of a benzene molecule. And so, during dream, he dreamt of serpent biting its own tail. Can you imagine a serpent biting its own tail? So, it's a circular thing. It's like a ring. And immediately, because he was working along those lines, he could make out that the benzene molecule structure is a closed chain or a closed ring structure. Similarly, It is said of, again, a physicist named Bohr, that he was trying to find out the structure of atom. And he one day dreamt that of the sun in the center and the planets revolving around the sun. And that was enough for him. It was a good hint, a solution. And he could really find out the structure of the atom with the nucleus in the center and the electrons in the surrounding orbits throwing out energies. So this is the solution. Similarly, the plot, it is said, for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, R.L. Stevenson got in his dreams. And so also, Kubla Khan is something which was really written out or conceived during dreams by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. So this is one kind of instruction. It can be also instruction which comes to a person who is trying to live the spiritual life. Mr. Judge mentions a particular kind of dream which comes to a person who is aspiring to live and become spiritual, trying to develop spiritual faculties, but he is not trying to change inwardly. So he would get a dream where he sees himself being pursued and being attacked. Now, he says this is a struggle between your lower nature and higher nature. And this kind of a dream will continue night after night till that person finally either gives up his discipline and says, I want to live ordinary life, or he begins to change himself, his thoughts, his feelings, his actions. He makes an effort to change inwardly. So this is also one kind of instruction. Your divine nature is, as it were, guiding you, telling you something that you need to do something about your spiritual discipline. There is also instruction in the sense as to guidance coming to you when you want to either, as it were, make a moral choice. Sometimes we are caught up between two equally good options, or we are completely confused, what course of action should I take? God, just help me. It could be that you want to help another person who is in distress in some way. And then, as Mr. Jack says, that if you make a strong desire that please guide me, my higher nature, and then fall asleep, chances are that you will get the answer in your dreams as to what to do. Not how to make money or how on what shares to speculate upon, not worldly things, but something which is of the nature of helping another and helping your own self morally. Now here again we are told, in fact the student has shared this incident before also. It is about one of our colleagues. She was having someone who had fallen ill, and she knew that there is a particular medicine which can cure this particular ailment. Now she forgot the name, but she also knew that one of her aunts, she knew about it, but that aunt had died. Now she thought, and really with a pure desire, how I wish I could remember the name, then I can give it to her and I know it is going to work. Then she, that day, thinking about the name, she couldn't get it, she fell asleep, and she told the student that I dreamt that I met my aunt who had died actually. And then I was telling her, you know, so and so is suffering from this, you know, we used to know this medicine. And the aunt said, "Are, don't you remember? This is the name." And she just woke up and she wrote it down in her whatever page paper it was. And sure enough, yes, that was the medicine. Now here is, call it communicating with the person in Devahan, call it guidance given from your own divine nature. But the pure desire to help, and you get that guidance from your inner nature in dream. Sometimes we hear about people, you know, who are guided, instructed by their gurus as it were. The instruction comes to do such and such a thing, or sometimes certain minor deities come and tell, build a temple in such a place, or you are told to build a hospital or a lake, dig out certain place, take out, unearth a particular idol from there. These instructions come in dream. Also, we know the episode or instance in the life of Ganeshwar. It is said that Ganeshwar, he took samadhi at a very young age, and he sat in a room which was closed from inside, and he sits in meditation. A huge structure is built around it. Trees begin to grow over a period of time. And at one point in time, Saint Eknath, who actually succeeded Ganeshwar, he dreamt that Ganeshwar came and told him that, please cut the tree which is just above this structure, because a root has grown so deep and penetrated the structure, it is hurting me in the head. Now, this is the instruction that he gets in the dream. Now, the other part, where Bulwer Lytton says, man's first initiation comes in dreams. Now, what is it, this initiation? It is a test or a trial, which a guru gives to the disciple. And we know that sometimes this test cannot be given to the disciple in the waking objective life. It could be very dangerous for his life. So sometimes the guru makes use of the dream to see where, at what stage the disciple is. Is he ready to take the next step or not? So he wants to try whether he is courageous enough. He may want to try whether he is still greedy about money or not. What is his lust like? Is he still attracted to the opposite sex? Then maybe the guru can let loose a tiger on this person and to see whether he remains composed or he is rattled. Then he may come across maybe lots of money somewhere. What does it? Does he really grab it? Nobody sees, let me stash this money in my pockets. Or does he really not concerned about that money? A beautiful woman comes across and be enticing. How does he feel? Does he get moved or does he remain calm? So these are the things, and if he passes this test successfully, then well, he is ready to take the next step. But this dream state can be used by the guru to test the disciple. Now, this actually shows, and the two examples which we saw there, we saw that the solution came. The solution came from your divine nature, but it was in a completely symbolic form. Now, our ego has a language which is a symbolic language. In fact, if you are interested, probably that book is available or not, there is a book by Eric Fromm called The Forgotten Language, in which a lot has been written about symbology, and he points out that therefore, you have to learn the language of symbology. If you learn this language of symbols, then there are certain dreams you can unravel. Till then, it's like a closed book. So, symbols is what our higher nature tries to communicate through symbols to us. Sometimes, of course, there are plain pictures and images and scenes which are impressed on the brain. Now, this is what happens in what is called as prophetic dreams. We may pause and see that Theosophy talks about seven kinds of dreams. There is prophetic dreams, that is dreams about what is going to happen in the future. Allegorical dreams, which also tells you something about future but through symbols and signs. There is something known as warning dreams. There is retrospective dreams. There is also the chaotic dreams. There are dreams sent by adepts and black magicians. Now coming back to prophetic dreams, therefore, we are told that our ego, when it is on its own plane in Sushupti, there is nothing like past, present and future. It can see anything that's going to happen because the causes are already well marked. You see, if someone has eaten too much and you can see it, he is really gorging like anything, you can predict that tomorrow he might vomit or might even have stomachache. There's nothing great about it. You know the cause and you can predict the future. Something like that is true even about each one of us. And our ego, knowing the causes, can tell about the consequences that might come in the future, and therefore there are these prophetic dreams. The ego can see, for instance, is given of a king. If the king is a good dreamer, and if there is a war going to take place, then the ego of this king can see that war. It will try to convey this message to the king by impressing his brain with pictures of tanks, pictures of armies, pictures of rifles and guns and so on. And if the king is receptive, sensitive, clairvoyant, then he will be able to interpret and find that probably there is an impending war. Also, as we said, it could be allegorical dream. There are two instances. One is in Buddha's life. We are told that Buddha's mother, Queen Maya, when she conceived Buddha, at that time she dreamt. Some say that it is a six-tusked white elephant. White elephant having not two tusks but six tusks entered her womb. Some say that she dreamt about a six-rayed star entering her womb. It's a fanciful thing. You may brush it aside. What nonsense. But she asked, and we are told that King Shuddhodana's quote, "There are wise people, rishis and adepts, and they could interpret the dream and say that you are going to give birth to a great and a holy man." Now, you and I cannot interpret this dream. Similarly, in Bible, we are told that the Pharaoh, the king, dreamt that from the river, first there came out seven fat cows and then followed by seven lean cows. The lean cows ate up the fat cows. Again, only a nonsense. But again, we are told that Joseph interpreted the dream and said, it means that in your kingdom, there will be 7 years of prosperity followed by 7 years of famine, and you must make enough provision during the years of prosperity to take care of famine. Now, this is allegorical, and this is where we are stuck up, because we don't know how to interpret the symbols. As Eric Fromm says, that it's not so easy to interpret the symbol. One simple example he gives is of the sun. That sun, well, in the northern countries where there is plenty of water and the growth of vegetation and everything dependent on sun, they regard sun as a very life-giving and beneficent power. But the people who are living in the equators, the scorching sun which only brings fire and pain, they look upon it as something terrible, something maleficent. This is only one simple example which is given. So, how the symbol differs not only from place to place, but in fact it differs from person to person. Now, therefore, interpretation becomes difficult. Now, warning dreams. Again, I think we are all very, very familiar with warning dreams. Probably we would have had it for ourselves, we would have had it for others. It is said that if there is some calamity or disaster to take place, sometimes even a death to take place, then you will get this warning dream. Example is there of Abraham Lincoln. He dreamt himself where crowds had gathered, and he asked that what's happened, and he said that the president of America has died, I think shot, and therefore he, after a few days, he died. Similarly, we are given the case of in case of Caesar, of course, it was his wife Octavia who dreamt about his death and murder. Similarly, Mark Twain, he dreamt about his brother, that he was going on Mississippi River in a boat, the boat exploded and he died. And we don't have to search for these faraway examples. We know ourselves that mothers sometimes dream of plane crash, train accidents, and sure enough, she will tell if the son or a daughter is going to go by train or plane, say that cancel the tickets. And the plane crashes or the train meets with the accident. So yes, these are warning dreams. You get it if you are receptive. Somebody else gets it if you are not receptive on your behalf. These are warning dreams. Then you come to retrospective dreams. These are dreams from your past life. As we said, that during dream, you are actually on the astral plane. And we won't have time to get into all that. But Theosophy talks about astral light. It's a canvas, a register. You can say, if you want, a huge camera which is clicking away pictures. Not only pictures of what you do, but what you think, what you feel. Nothing escapes this astral light. So, when you are in the dream state, sometimes your ego gets glimpses of pictures which are in the astral light, and those pictures pertain to your past life. So sometimes what you dream about a person, a place, an incident, actually pertains to your past life and not this life. So these are called retrospective dreams, about which very little, if anything, is given. Now, there is also dreams sent by adepts and black magicians. About this, we don't have to go far. In fact, I think very recently there was a movie, Inception. And in that, we know the main character, Leonardo DiCaprio. He is supposed to be the specialist who is trying to protect people, from whose minds the corporate secrets can be ferreted, and to whose minds, as it were, the ideas can be implanted, suggestions can be implanted, so that the person on waking up will actually execute that suggestion. Now, this is, in a way, something which can take place during dream state. HPB says there is nothing to be wondered at, because, like in the hypnotic session, what happens? That you are hypnotized. When you are hypnotized, your free will is completely paralyzed. You are at the mercy of the hypnotizer. He can make a suggestion, and you will be doing the same thing. Not just hypnotic trance. But even when you have come out of the hypnotic state, he can implant a suggestion so that after going away from him, perhaps even at a particular time, you will go and do the thing which he wanted you to do. Commit a crime, do a burglary, robbery, whatever it is. This is something which you can do even during sleep. HPB in transactions makes a mention of it, that during sleep, for the ordinary people, the will is inactive. The will is dormant. And therefore, either by a black magician or by a very powerful mind, it is possible to give a bent to the will of the sleeping person, and therefore you will do exactly what he wanted you to do. This is something which is possible during dreams to influence another's will. Not so the will of a spiritually advanced person. He is in a conscious control of his will, but not we. Now let's not therefore get frightened that every night we fall asleep, somebody will do something to the will and we will be, we are not that susceptible. Luckily we are told that we are all protected. So long as you don't think ill of anyone in a major way of trying and murdering him and things like that, now and then we get angry, but so long as you have goodwill towards all, clear conscience, pure life, it acts as a protecting cover or a shield, and no black magician can really do anything to us. So this is a great solace, but the possibility is there. HPV says this is a trick in black magic, but also the same thing is used in training an occultist, by the way. Anyway, so this is there about the dreams. And sometimes, of course, the adept can actually send a dream. A black magician can send a dream by way of suggestion, or a dream actually coming, and that is there. Now, the last kind with which we are very, very familiar are the chaotic dreams. Chaotic dreams, it's a jumble. More often than not, at least this student feels that you get up and you make no sense of what you remember of the dream. What is this confused dreams about? Well, one thing, because you are not able to recall them completely, you know. Bits and pieces only is something which we carry with us in the waking life. And therefore, you can't make a head or tail of what the dream was about. This is confused dreams. But it may also be because, as HPB says, because of indigestion. It may be because of the breathing trouble, some sort of blood pressure. Some bodily discomfort can cause a dream which is of this kind, chaotic. Again, one kind of a humorous example is there, that a professor approaches Mr. Judge and he says, you know, Mr. Judge, yesterday I had a duck for dinner and I dreamt that the duck was growing bigger and bigger and bigger till it grew to the size of an elephant and it was waving its webbed foot at me. It was so terrifying. And Mr. Judge, being Mr. Judge, says, yes, it was caused because of indigestion. But also, it shows something important. Did you notice? It means that the same personal faculty which are afraid of real danger during waking life are also there, and afraid of imaginary danger during the dream state. So the one great lesson which dreams teach is that there is something in man which passes like a thread through different states. There is something which bridges the gap of sleeping and waking, which bridges the gap of course, death and life. You are not a different person when you wake up. This is one of the proofs of the hidden self, that there is something permanent and divine in us, apart from your body and senses and minds and mind and feelings, etc. There is something divine. So this is one thing which he tries to draw attention to. Now the important thing here is to be able to, one, remember the dreams, and to be able to interpret the dreams. They say that the dream not interpreted is like a book which, or a letter which is not opened. You receive the letter, but you don't know the message. Who can interpret the dream? And Theosophy says, no one else can interpret your dream. Don't try and refer to dream books where there are clear-cut kind of things written. If you dream of a snake, it means you are going to die. If you dream of water, it means something. If you dream of tree, it means you will get money. Not so. See what HPB says, I think maybe on the first page, second last quotation, where she points out that, are there any means of interpreting dreams? None but the clairvoyant faculty and the spiritual intuition of the interpreter. Every dreaming ego differs from every other, as our physical bodies do. If everything in the universe has seven keys to its symbolism on the physical plane, how many keys may it not have on the higher planes? So, this is something very important. No one else can interpret, and yet there are books written, people have made an attempt. In fact, by Eric Fromm, no, Carl Jung, there is a book, Man and the Symbols. He has gone at great length into various kinds of symbols. But we can see from examples that it's not so easy, unless you are having the faculty of clairvoyance and intuition, to interpret another's dream. One author has given the example that, look, if you are shown only a clip of the movie in which a young man gets up from a sofa and shoots at the stranger who enters the room, now what do you make of it? You don't know the first part, nor do you know the last part of the movie. You are only shown this. What was it? Was it an act of self-defense? Was it an act of revenge? Murder? Panic? What? You do not know because you don't know the background. You don't know anything. The dream is like a fragment taken out from the man's life of which you don't know the background. You don't know the man's character. How will you interpret that dream? We want to share with you one dream which is there in the book, Walter Delamere's book, Behold the Dreamer. It's this fat volume. Lots of dreams are given there. One of them is about the woman who has just got engaged. And then after that she falls, after a few days of engagement, etc., one night she falls asleep and she dreams that, okay, she's sitting on the writing table, she's about to take up the pen and write, and suddenly the ink, the bottle of ink falls and it turns over the paper, spoiling the paper, her fingers also are stained. She goes to the wash basin to wash her hands. And while she is washing, suddenly the ring slips off that finger and goes inside. It just disappears. It's irretrievable. It just doesn't, you cannot take it from that wash basin. She wonders, she gets up and wonders, what could it mean? Again falls asleep. Then during the daytime, she receives a telegram. The telegram carries the message that her fiancé has died of car accident. Now we are able to see something. The ink on the paper was the telegram. She was going to receive a telegram which was ink on the paper. And the ring really slipping off from her finger, irretrievably gone, is like losing. It symbolized her fiancé and she lost him. So who will be able to? Now when the incident happens, maybe you can think, yeah, maybe that's what it meant. But otherwise, who can really interpret? Only the person himself. And the more intuitive and the pure you are, the better you are able to make sense of your dreams. But the important part is, again, still to be able to remember. This is our problem. Many people say, I don't dream. And HBP says, there's not a single man on this earth who doesn't dream. Only you don't remember. Especially people who do a lot of hard work, physical work, they tend to not remember their dreams at all. People who don't exercise their imaginative faculty are again the ones who are not very likely to remember their dreams properly. And those who are very materialistic are the third category, who may not really remember their dreams. Now, but then what are we to do? And the simple thing which is said is that, well, before going to sleep, prepare yourself. When you are watching television, doze off to sleep. You have some magazine in your hand, you doze off to sleep. This is not the way to go to sleep. You must prepare yourself. Undertake a meditation. Do some sort of a self-examination as to the day's activities. What are the good things I did? What are the bad things I did? Say a simple prayer, if nothing else, which will put you in a different state of mind. This preparation must be made to make your mind and brain receptive. More than that, we are also told that what is a dream state? It's a reflection of the waking state. And if the waking state is full of chaos, you are the kind who are never concentrated. You do one thing and run off to do the other, to the other, in the hectic life that we have. Then again, the concentration of the mind which should be there is not there. And therefore, we are told, do every bit of your work with complete concentration. Have fewer desires so that there is less distraction during the waking life. You are not distracted by umpteen things. This is really a tall order for the modern man. Both these things he is not able to fulfill, clearly. We really have umpteen desires. and we are also not concentrated in our day-to-day activities. But if you are concentrated, then what happens? Again, this is the last, on the first page, last quotation. We want to read them. They are Mr. Judge's words. The difference between the man who is not concentrated and the one who is consists in this, that the first passes from one state to the other just as sand does through a sieve, while the concentrated man passes from one to the other state similar to water through a pipe or the rays of the sun through a lens. In the first case, each stream of sand is a different experience, a different set of confused and irregular thoughts, whereas a collected man goes and returns the owner of regular and clear experience. So, this is how it will be. Like, integrated consciousness, you pass from one state to the other, and again come back in that same as an integrated consciousness. Now, time is almost run out, and therefore we won't spend any more time on the remaining points. But we would simply like to end this also by saying that dreams are important because that's one more way of making a link with your higher nature. Your higher nature gets a chance to convey something. Sometimes even to admonish you in some way. You know, during waking hours there is a conscience which speaks and guides. But are we really paying heed? It will say, don't do this. But we go and do that because it suits us. We don't pay heed to the conscience. But during sleep, once again, it will try to guide you, admonish you. Perhaps that's what happened. Again, we remember the dream of one of our colleagues. Very simple, very nice-minded person, and a very telling dream, I would say, that he once told the student that, you know, yesterday what happened, it was a Sunday, and we had a rat in our house. And it was really creating so much havoc for last many days that finally I decided to kill the rat. He was otherwise very nice person, that the student knows. But finally he was so fed up that he killed the rat. And he says, do you know what happened? That night I dreamt, this rat came to me and said, why did you kill me? Mujhe bhi jeene ka haq hai. I also have a right to live. Now this was his conscience speaking, you see. This person who would not otherwise want to kill, and he did it even against that voice. That voice will not leave him, and it's telling him now in the night that you kill the rat, even that is life and you should not be. Dream like that. Conscience is warning you, admonishing you, telling you that you've done something wrong. That pricking conscience will not leave you even in your dream. So that is again a way of your own higher nature guiding you and reminding you of the wrong you may have done, guiding you in the right direction. And lastly, we may say, since we were actually talking about the three halls, that life itself is a dream. As Voice of the Silence says, you know, at one place, when to himself his form appears as unreal, as do on waking all the forms he sees in dreams. Life is a dream. As you have a bad dream and you wake up and you say, thank God it was only a dream. So also are we able to say about life that it's only a dream. The real life and the real thing is elsewhere. When you are able to do that, you really reach the state. We are far away from there. Nor are we able to ask, like Chuangzu, who said that last night I dreamt that I was a butterfly. And when he woke up, he said, am I the king who dreamt that he is a butterfly? Or am I a butterfly who is now dreaming that he is a king? Very few minutes are there. Questions? And affinity with you. There has to be a very deep bond for that person to meet you in the Sushupti state like that. They can figure in your dream. That happens sometimes. You know, if someone has a very, very strong desire, the student has experienced a very strong desire, a father who is suffering and wants that the son should come back, the son got a dream that the father wants him there. This happens. It's a very strong desire which is projected. It's like almost like saying that a powerful mind and a powerful desire sends a dream or vibrations to that person. So he dreams about the father and comes. So this happens. But in Sushupti, getting communication is a different thing. Where you, there should be a kind of a very inner pure affinity with that person. And also that person should be at that same stage. Then you actually communicate with them. This is what Mr. Judge wants. Yes, you have some.
First of all, thank you very much. It was very informative. It was fantastic. I want to know the name of this book by Eric Fromm about symbolism. Correct name.
The Forgotten Language.
The Forgotten Language.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, is there any other book like Carl Jung's?
Carl Jung's is Man and His Symbols.
Is there any later book similar to that?
No, but a lot of things are there on the internet. If you go to internet, there are lots of psychologists doing research. But we find that in psychology especially, you don't get the explanation which comes from the Eastern philosophy. I won't say theosophy. Eastern philosophy, which talks about higher mind and a divine nature. Lots of things like prophetic dreams. The student has not really read explanation coming from anywhere, though the research is done. We don't know. How is it that you have dream about something happening in future? Precisely because there is something in you for which there is no barrier of time and it is able to see things happening in future, and that is how you can know about future. So prophetic, allegorical dreams, these are the things you can explain only on the basis of higher mind. And this is one of the things HPV points out in her very difficult article, Psychic and Noetic Action. One of the things, the points she makes is that so long as the psychologist admits the existence of the higher mind, psychology is actually a science without soul. Though it is dealing with soul, it's dealing with a lower soul, the animal soul. It's a science without soul. She says it's like talking about Shakespearean novel Hamlet, where Hamlet himself is missing. What psychology are we talking about if we don't know about the higher divine soul in man? So this is something important. And so outside, if there are books, apart from the student is not available, but lots of material is available on the internet. And research is being done. And let's hope one day psychologists admit this and come closer to the Eastern philosophy's position. Anything?
I have one more.
Yeah.
I had a dream twice for the last 15 days. Whether I could repeat that and
you
would like
to interpret it? No. Maybe we can do that after the class. But for the moment, we will not. After the class, maybe we can do it. But there's another point which we did not touch upon, and that is being able to relate your dream to something which has happened during your life, you know, or during the days. This is the, on the second page, second last quotation, we will not read it out, but what Mr. Judge says is that you should not rest in peace till you are able to connect your dream with some instance in your life. You know, why is it that I dreamt of jalebi? Why did I dream about it? And he says, like an astronomer who will be exploring the heavens to find that star or planet which he is trying to find out, he will not rest in peace. So also, someone who wants to walk the spiritual or occult path, he should be able to link back his dream to some thought, some instance, some action in his life. Because even a fleeting thing, fleeting impression, unconscious impression on your brain can actually convert itself into dream. You are walking and a poster is there of man smoking and you will dream about it. You have not noticed it. But you must be so aware from moment to moment that you should be able to link the two things. That is because the poster I saw and so I am dreaming about maybe my smoking or someone else smoking. Why did I get the dream? This, he says, is an important exercise. Till you do that, you will not perfect yourself in concentration. You have to really work out step by step your dream back to the waking state. We will have to stop here.